Hello and welcome to Veterans Memorial Stadium on this Thursday evening in Cedar Rapids. Today the Cedar Rapids Colonels come in at 1-4 in the second half, 41-30 overall, and the opposing South Bend Cubs at 3-2 in the second half, 26-45 overall. Luke Vera here with you, welcoming you in to Veterans Memorial. Last time out was Wednesday afternoon. South Bend took the second game of the series at a score of 4-1. It was a pitcher's duel yesterday. Tyler Schlaefer tossed 7 scoreless innings, including 6 1/3 no-hit innings as well. He punched out 10 Colonels, outdueling Chase Chaney, Colonel starter, in South Bend's second straight win in the series. Chaney pitched well. He allowed 2 runs with 6 strikeouts in 6 1/3 innings of work. It was his 7th quality start of the season in 10 outings, but the Colonels' offense limited to just 1 run. Made it tough to overcome that 4-run deficit. They got their run in the 9th inning. Today, on the mound is Tanner Hall, the 6'1", 186-pound 23-year-old righty, looking to right the ship in this one today. He's making his 13th appearance and 13th start. He has a 3-3 record with a 4.58 ERA, 33 strikeouts to 33 walks, and he does it all with a sinker, slider, sweeper, and a changeup. Last time out for Hall was June 20th against Beloit. Took a no decision across 4 2/3 innings of work. He allowed 6 hits, 4 runs, all being earned, while striking out 2 and walking 4. Hall on the season does have an appearance against South Bend. That was earlier in the year when the Colonels hosted the Cubs at Veterans Memorial Stadium. He took the loss. He threw 1 2/3 innings, allowed 4 hits, 4 earned runs, struck out 3, and walked 3. So Hall looking for a bounce-back performance against the South Bend Cubs. On the other side for South Bend is the big lefty Evan Ashenbeck, 6'2", 200 pounds, 24 years old, out of Bryan, Texas. Last time out for him, he tossed 4 innings, allowed 8 hits, 5 runs, and 5 earned runs while striking out 3 and walking 2. And he'll do it with a fastball, slider, 12-6 curve, and a changeup on this season overall. This is his 8th start in 10th appearance. He is 2-4 with a 3.88 ERA across 48 2/3 innings pitched. He has 38 strikeouts to just 12 walks, and he does have an appearance against Cedar Rapids this season. That was back on April 30th. It was his first high A start, and the Colonels got him for 3 earned runs. They tagged him for 5 hits as well across 4 innings. He struck out 2 and walked 1. And Brandon Winokur got the big hit in that one for the Colonels. It was a 2-run blast that Brandon Winokur smacked out of here over everything in left field. So Winokur very, very ecstatic to see Ashenbeck back out on the mound today. When we come back on the Cedar Rapids Colonels pregame show, we'll take a look at scores across the Midwest League and scores across the Minnesota Twins organization. This is the Cedar Rapids Colonels pregame show on the Cedar Rapids Baseball Network.
The value of Viridian.
Dura Edge is proud to be the official infield playing surface of minor league baseball. Together, we are committed to delivering safer, more consistent playing surfaces for athletes at every level. Follow Dura Edge on social media for tips on how to improve your ball feel.
Pitching changes this season are sponsored by Collins Community Credit Union. Collins Community Credit Union is proud to support Cedar Rapids and its surrounding communities since 1940. Visit collinscu.org to learn how you can join the community that has your back.
Welcome back to Veterans Memorial Stadium. Game 3 of the 6-game set against the South Bend Cubs is coming up shortly. the Colonels and the Cubs making their second series here in Cedar Rapids. Cubs came here at the end of April, beginning of May, and the Colonels won that series, looking to get back on the right track here to be able to take a series victory in this one. Let's go across scores now in all affiliated levels in the Minnesota Twins system. We'll start with the big club, the Twins hosting the Seattle Mariners in the rubber match of their series up there. Bottom of the sixth inning right now, 3-0, Twins have the lead and threatening for more. Now at the single-A level, it's the top of the fourth inning. Mighty Muscles have a 2-0 lead over the Tampa Tarpons in Tampa. And now at the double-A level, 7:05 the start time between the Springfield Bats, the Springfield Cardinals and the Wichita Windsurge. The Louisville Bats and the St. Paul Saints at the triple-A level get going at 7:07 Central Time tonight up in St. Paul. Now scores across the Midwest League on this Thursday evening. Warming up right now, getting set to go in Lake County are the Captains and the West Michigan Whitecaps. But in action right now, the Dayton Dragons and the Lansing Lugnuts. 2-0, Lansing has the lead already in the bottom of the first inning. Then also in a warm-up, Beloit and Peoria getting set to go at 6:30 p.m. Central Time tonight. The Skycarp in Peoria taking on the Chiefs. Then Quad Cities travels up to Wisconsin. The River Bandits and the Timber Rattlers in action shortly. Then a delayed start in Fort Wayne. The Loons and the Tin Caps, hopefully they get going out in Indiana. We'll take a quick break. Then when we come back, we'll take a look at starting lineups and starting pitchers for this one today. It's game three of the series. Colonels looking to get on the board in the series against the South Bend Cubs. You're listening to the Cedar Rapids Colonels pregame show on the Cedar Rapids Baseball Network.
When you plan for your future, dreams can come true with Jeriask Investment Services. Go the distance with their award-winning staff who will help you focus on the future you envision. Give them a call or visit their website at jkainvest.com for a complimentary consultation. Subscribe to All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, presented by Miracle-Ear. I'm your host and voice of the Colonels, Calvin Cristoforo, bringing you exclusive insights and conversations from around the ballpark. Subscribe today, available wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you to our friends at Miracle-Ear for your continued support of Colonels baseball. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Welcome back to Veterans Memorial Stadium, and welcome back to the Cedar Rapids Colonels pregame show on your home for Colonels baseball. Luke Vera getting you set on this Thursday evening for baseball. It's game three of the set between the Cubs and the Colonels. South Bend jumping out to a 2-0 series lead over Cedar Rapids. Now let's take a look at the starting lineups for both squads. We'll start out with the South Bend Cubs. They come in today 3-2 in the second half, 26-40. Overall, headed up by manager Nick Lovello. And he starts out with Carter Trice leading things off in center field today. His 10 homers leads the South Bend Cubs. Following him, Jefferson Rojas at shortstop, batting second. He has been a Colonel killer this year, 11-32 against Cedar Rapids with 2 homers and 10 RBIs. Edgar Alvarez batting third out in left field. Then Ariel Armas back behind the plate in the cleanup spot. Cameron Cisneros playing first, batting fifth. Then behind him, Ivan Breddauer in the DH spot leads the team in walks with 42. He has been a tough out for the Colonels in this series. A couple of his hits have been big ones, one of them a home run in game one, the other an RBI base hit to get South Bend on the board in the game yesterday. Kicking off the bottom third of the Cubs order is Reggie Preciado at second base. His 7 hits and 7 RBIs are very excellent. He's also been a Colonel killer in 2025. Drew Bowser at third base today, batting 8th. Then Rafael Morel rounding things out in the 9 spot and ranging in right field. Evan Aschenbeck, the lefty, on the mound for South Bend in this one. Then for the Colonels, 1-4 in the second half, 41-30 overall, headed up by manager Brian Meyer. Misael Urbina leading things off for the first time in his Colonel career out in left field. Kyle DeBarge behind him and next to him in the outfield. He's in center field. Brandon Winokur at shortstop today, batting 3rd. He has 6 home runs in the month of June. Looking to get back on the board tonight with the wind blowing straight out to center field. Danny DeAndrade playing 2nd in the cleanup spot. Billy Amick at 3rd, batting 5th. Then Andy Lugo with the DH responsibilities. He broke up the no-hit bid in the game yesterday with a double down the left field line. Pancho Ruiz back behind the plate, batting 7th. Then Jaime Ferrer at 1st base, still looking for his first hit against South Bend in this 2025 campaign. And Justin Connell out in right field rounds out the order for the Colonels, and Tanner Hall is doing the pitching today. National Anthem coming up here. We'll take a brief commercial break. When we come back, Calvin Cristoforo has first pitch and play-by-play action. This has been the Cedar Rapids Colonels pregame show on the Cedar Rapids Baseball Network.
The world of real estate is complex, but with the Cedar Rapids Area Association of Realtors, achieving your happily ever after has never been easier. When you work with a local realtor, you have an expert partner who knows the market, someone who handles complex negotiations, and who works to get you the most equity from selling your home and the best deal when buying. They'll work tirelessly to ensure your housing dreams come true. So whether you're buying or selling, don't go it alone. Work with a local realtor and achieve your happily ever after.
CashLink is revolutionizing the way you enjoy the game with their cutting-edge payment solutions. With local support and payment technology, concession sales are a breeze, allowing the staff to serve fans quickly and efficiently. So whether it's grabbing a hot dog and a cold beer or purchasing merchandise, CashLink ensures a smooth transaction every time. From networking install to maintenance and repair, the CashLink team are experts in POS payment solutions and ATM services. CashLink takes pride in servicing their community and supporting local businesses. Call CashLink today, the local solution for your business. For more information, visit cashlink.net. Ready to go for an on-time departure here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Cedar Rapids and South Bend getting going game 3 of this series at the ballpark tonight. Calvin Cristoforo with you. Happy you're alongside for the third game of 6 in this series between Cedar Rapids and South Bend. The Cubs taking the first two games in this set, 10-6 on Tuesday, and then a 4-1 final last night in which the Colonels matched a season low, getting just 2 hits in that loss yesterday afternoon. The Colonels, who have dropped now 4 of the first 5 games in the second half of the season after winning the first half of the regular season last week in Beloit, trying to get back in the win column and snap a 3-game losing streak, which is tied for their longest of the year. Tanner Hall tries to do that, the right-hander, on the mound in his alternate red jersey, red top with the white bottoms, the gold CR crest on the left side of the chest in that red jersey top, outlined in navy, same color number on the back of the jersey. Colonels have their blue cap with the blue bill and the K logo on the front. South Bend has their alternate identities as well. The blue jersey with the blue sleeves. Royal blue lettering against a sky blue back of that jersey. Cubs across the chest written in blue, outlined in white. Same color number on the back of the jersey. For South Bend, who wears their blue cap with the blue bill and the South Bend Cub logo on the front. It is a sunny day turning into a cloudy day. Storms are in the area. And to tell you that, the weather forecast has the first pitch at 88 degrees. It will get down to potentially 74 as we go along tonight at the ballpark with thunderstorms in the area here in eastern Iowa this evening. Our home and umpire tonight is Stacy Dunbar. He calls balls and strikes. Evan Anderson mans the bases. The umpire that began this series was Pedro Amparo, He is filling in a double-A game the rest of the week. So Stacey Dunbar takes over as Anderson's partner. He calls balls and strikes in this series third game. It's a windy night, too, with thunderstorms looming. A breeze out at 13 miles per hour and gusts up to 22. Carter Trice begins the afternoon for South Bend. Rojas and Alvarez will follow the top of the order against the Colonels' right-hander, Tanner Hall. Tanner works in the windup out of the first base side. His first pitch home is a swing and a ground ball, softball hit towards short. Whitaker on the run, gloves on the run, throws, and on the run is not in time. Trice, sprinting all the way, beats out the infield single with a base hit to begin this game for South Bend.
The shortstop, number 4, Jefferson Rojas.
A combined just 6 hits in the game yesterday. Colonel said Sioux South Bend had 4 in a game that was scoreless through 6 innings. But a single by Trice to begin this evening, and he is aboard for Jefferson Rojas. Just underway, no score, top 1. Hall's second pitch is just outside, missing for ball 1. Tanner last time out, 4 2/3 in Beloit, a no decision. He allowed 4 runs on 6 hits, but did walk 4 for his second consecutive start. 1-0. Inside ball 2. Also walked 4 in his previous outing against Peoria, but that didn't bite him through 7 scoreless innings, working around those 4 walks and a win against the Chiefs. His last start here at home. The righty's 2-0. Goes to first base and Trice is back in safely. Hall against South Bend back in early June or early May. Took a loss, went just 1 2/3. Allowed 4 runs on 4 hits, 3 strikeouts, and 3 walks. Rojas was 2 for 2 off of him as the runner goes. The pitch is a ball down. The throw to second is on the money again. And Poncho Ruiz has another victim. Poncho Ruiz continues to be a huge defensive luxury behind the plate as Trice got stealing the leadoff single to begin this game. Is wiped off the bases. The count, though, is 3-0, and Rojas takes up and away, ball 4. So if Trice would have waited one more pitch, he could have walked to second base. Instead, he gets caught stealing, and Rojas replaces him on first base, now with 1 out in the inning. The Colonels defensively have Misael Urbina in left field, Kyle DeBarge in center, Justin Connell plays in right. Emick Winokur, DeAndrade Ferrer go from third to first base. And Ruiz does the catching for Tanner Hall. The batter is Edgar Alvarez, the lefty hitting left fielder. Is there something in the South Bend bullpen with time called to remove? The tarp down the left field line is unwrapped, as a tarp could come any moment with this weather in jeopardy. First pitch to Alvarez, misses off the outside corner. And it's ball 1. So after Hall's first pitch that resulted in the single by Trice, he's tossed 5 straight balls in this opening inning. A 1, or 1-0, gets the top of the zone for a strike, 1-1. Scoreless game, top of the first inning. 1 is on, 1 is out. Hall's 1-1. Down and in. And it's 2 balls and a strike. The batter Edgar Alvarez, off night last night, was 0-for-5, 2 strikeouts in the game on Tuesday. One of 2 Cubs not to reach in that game on Tuesday night when South Bend scored 10 runs in a 10-6 victory. 2-1, outside 3-1. So after walking 4 for Hall in his last 2 outings, already a walk in this inning. And now a 3-1 count on the batter Alvarez. The pitch. Outside ball 4, he walked him. So 8 of the last 9 Tanner Hall pitches have been out of the strike zone. Alvarez takes his base. And how big is that caught stealing now in this inning?
Mario Arce.
bases would be loaded with nobody out. But instead, first and second, one out in a scoreless game, top of the first inning for the catcher, Ariel Armas. Righty batter against the righty, Tanner Hall. First pitch, down and away, ball one. Armas also an off day yesterday after an 0-for night on Tuesday. RBI spot early, 2-1, one out in a scoreless top of the first inning. 1-0. Inside, almost got the jersey of the South Bend catcher. And it's ball two, 2-0. And in the middle of the count, A.J. Angulo, Colonel's pitching coach, comes sprinting out of the Colonel's dugout. Waits for his catcher, Pancho Ruiz, to catch up. As Angulo, with full gusto, sprints out of the Colonel's dugout to chat with his battery.
Need a moment of pure bliss? Kona Ice has you covered. Visit the Kona Ice stand located behind the lawn section.
Start to this outing for Hall.
He's
thrown just two strikes across his first 12 pitches. It's a long conversation on the mound. As Angulo makes his way back. The Colonel's first base dugout. Ruiz takes a spot behind home plate. First and second, one out. And a scoreless top of the first inning. The count, two balls, no strikes on Armas. The Cubs' fifth round pick in last year's draft. 2-0. Swing and a miss. That's a good pitch from Hall. A changeup working down and away. And it's 2-1. Sinker, slider, sweeper, changeup, the combination for the Colonel's right-hander. A fourth round pick back in 2023. 2-1. In the dirt. And it's 3-1. Holly, former two-time Pitcher of the Year in the Sun Belt Conference, pitching at Southern Miss. Finished off last year with the Colonels, began this year with Cedar Rapids, making his 13th start. His 3-1 is on the outside corner, and it's gone full 3-2. First and second, one out. In a scoreless top of the first frame. Catcher Armas calls his timeout. As Hall looks to find something here to work his way out of this first inning jam. The set and the pitch is a line drive to left over a lunging Amick down for a hit. Around third base comes Trice being waved home. Throw to the plate is not in time. The run is in to score, and it's 1-0 South Bend. That was instead Rojas scrambling from second to the plate to put the Cubs on top 1-0 in the top of the first inning. The first four South Bend batters have reached in this inning. They're on first and second, one gone. With now South Bend on top of the Colonels, 1-0. The batter is Cameron Cisneros. Lefty batter against the righty Hall. And the first pitch is in there for a strike. Second start for Cisneros in this series. Made the start yesterday. 1-0 for 2, but did have an RBI, a walk, and a run scored. A wide open stance left side, 0-1. Swinging a fly ball, driven high in the air, deep to right center, sending Connell back into his right. On the warning track, he can't make the play. It takes one bounce off the wall. Alvarez in to score. Up to third base goes Armas. It's an RBI double, and it's 2-0 South Bend. Cisneros got it in the air, and with the wind carrying it out to right center field, it's two bases for Cisneros, and it's a 2-0 Cub lead. Five straight have reached to begin this opening frame. Second and third, one gone for Ivan Bredauer. First pitch. Tap foul, strike one. Again, the first out in this inning was mainly caught stealing. So how big does that look as we continue to go down this opening frame? Trice, an infield single, caught stealing for the first out. 0-1. Fastball at the knee is called a strike, 0-2. The Colonels infield plays back. They will give up the run if it means an out with one out in this first frame. Holcomb set, his 0-2. Outside, good catch by Ruiz across his body to prevent that from going to the backstop as it goes to 1-2. The righty Hall against the righty Bredauer. The 1-2. On the ground, foul, third base side. Bouncing off the gate to the South Bend dugout. Bredauer, 1-for-4 in RBI yesterday after his four-run night in the South Bend win on Tuesday. The 6'6" righty. The 1-2. Swinging a fly ball, driven deep to left field. Urbina back with room. Shy of the track to make the catch. Arm is tagged. He is in to score. It's a productive second out, and it's 3-0 Cubs. Sacrifice fly, Ivan Bredauer. And off the jump this evening, the Cubs have a field goal in the top of the first frame.
Second baseman, number 7, Reggie Preciado.
Cisneros stays on second, two gone for Reggie Preciado. In this first inning, which has gone single walk, walk, single double, sacrifice fly. Here's Preciado, who takes one at the knees for a strike. Reggie Preciado has crushed the Colonels this year. Was not in there yesterday after a 1-for-2, 2 RBI day, and the Cubs win on Tuesday night. 0-1. Down and away, and it's a ball and a strike. Preciado now in the season, 7-for-18 against Cedar Rapids. He's driven in 7 runs. Hall's 1-1. Off the end of the bat, fouled by the Colonel's dugout, and it's 1-2. 3-0 South Bend in just the top of the first inning. With storms looming, long innings, not what you want. But Halt to throw his 27th pitch in the top of the first frame. The righty's 1-2. Is down and in, and it's 2-2. 27 pitches, just 13 for strikes. As the Colonel's bullpen starts to stir down there. Here's the 2-2, and it's off the end of the bat again, foul by the Colonel's dugout. Man on second, two gone. 3-0 South Bend, top one. 2-2. On the ground towards short. Winokur to his right, corrals it. Seton throws to first in time to get Preciado and end the inning in the top of the first frame. But South Bend sends 7 to the plate and they strike for 3 after a half. 3-0 Cubs on your home for Colonels baseball.
When you plan for your future, dreams can come true with Jerriask Investment Services. Go the distance with their award-winning staff who will help you focus on the future you envision. Give them a call or visit their website at jkainvest.com for a complimentary consultation.
Subscribe to All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, presented by Miracle Ear. I'm your host and voice of the Colonels, Calvin Cristoforo, bringing you exclusive insights and conversations from around the ballpark. Subscribe today, available wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you to our friends at Miracle Ear for your continued support of Colonels Baseball. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Seth Benn strikes for three in the top of the first inning. We go bottom one advance.
All right,
the Colonels find themselves in a 3-0 hole. Evan
Aschenbeck
throws the rubber for the Cubs, the left-hander, on his 24th birthday. The birthday boy from Bryan, Texas, on the mound for the Cubs, makes his 8th start with South Bend. Overall with the Cubs, 2-4, a 3.88 ERA after beginning the season with single-A Myrtle Beach. Misael Urbina digs in to greet him. Lefty pitch to the righty batter. And the first pitch is a fastball taken on the inside corner for a strike. It's a fastball, slider, curveball, and changeup for Aschenbeck. A left-hander out of Texas A&M. 0-1. Down and in, 1-1. He faces Urbina to begin this evening. Urbina, the third-year Colonel, batting first for the first time in his Colonel career. 1-2, down and in. Or it's 2-1 now on Urbina. For Misael, this is game number 244 as a Colonel. His first time batting first. 2-1, inside, ball three. He also has never hit second in the Colonel's starting nine. On top of Aschenbeck, 3-1. The southpaw comes home. And Urbina swings and chases ball four on a pitch at the top of the zone. Cuts through it for strike two. The skies continue to darken. The wind continues to gust on the 3-2, which Urbina swings and skies. Foul territory, right field side. And not caught, or yes caught. Out of view, Rafael Morel in the right field corner, sliding feet first. Evan Anderson had to go down there himself to figure out if he caught it or not. He first marked it foul and then marked the catch. So Rafael Morel with a web gem in right, sliding feet first in the corner to retire Urbina for the first down for Evan Aschenbeck. So one is gone for Kyle DeBarge, who takes a breaking ball on the outside corner for a strike. Good play by Rafael Morel, who had a good catch last night in the South Bend 4-0 win, or 4-1 win. 0-1. Down and away on DeBarge, 1-1. Again, those skies continue to darken and move in as South Bend leads by three, bottom one, 1-1. Cut and a miss. So the changeup by Aschenbeck, and it's a ball and two strikes. Out of the line, first base side. The 1-2. Swing a fly ball. This one out of play on the first base side. And it stays 1-2. The 1-2 again. Inside, 2-2. The skies like a recipe for a classic Midwest thunderstorm. Here's the 2-2 coming to DeBarge. And it's fouled back. Long innings, not what the Colonel's grounds crew wanted in this game. A long top of the first frame with South Bend scoring three times. 13th pitch for Aschenbeck in the bottom half. He is 2-2 again.
DeBard swings and grounds it sharply towards shortstop. Jefferson Rojas has it and tosses out to Barge. For the second out for Ashton Beck in the South Bend defense, which features Edgar Alvarez in left field. Carter Trice in center, Rafael Morel is in right. Bowser Rojas Preciado Cisneros, third to first base. And Ariel Armas does the catching for Evan Ashton Beck. They're empty two gone for Brandon Winokur. First pitch. Check swing, he went on a pitch outside the zone for strike one. Winokur, one for two, a home run against Ashton Beck when they met in late April. A one, he pops this one up into shallow right center. Morel in and to his right, makes the one-handed catch to retire Winokur and the side in the first inning. Top two we go, South Bend on top of the Colonels, 3-0 on our home for Colonels baseball.
Let's talk about your best interests. Things like saving up for a weekend getaway or moving into your family home, buying your child their first car, or finally getting your dream car. At Viridian Credit Union, finding ways to help you save is our best interest. So you'll have more money for all the things that interest you, saving you more. That's the value of Viridian.
DuraEdge is proud to be the official infield playing surface of minor league baseball. Together, we are committed to delivering safer, more consistent playing surfaces for athletes at every level. Follow DuraEdge on social media for tips on how to improve your ball feel.
Pitching changes this season are sponsored by Collins Community Credit Union. Collins Community Credit Union is proud to support Cedar Rapids and its surrounding communities since 1940. Visit collinscu.org to learn how you can join the community that has your back.
South Bend on top. South Bend on top, 3-0. We start the top half of the second here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Storms are brewing at Vets tonight with the wind and skies quickening and darkening, respectively. Tanner Hallback out there for his second inning of work. Drew Bowser digs in to greet him. Righty on right, first pitch is a tapper foul for strike one. Bowser, Morel, Trice, 8-9-1 for South Bend. He scored three times on three hits and two walks in the top of the first frame. Second frame for Tanner Hall is 0-1. Wave and a miss, 0-2. For a bounce back frame is Hall on top of Bowser, 0-2. Second start for Bowser in this series, 1-for-3 in the South Bend win yesterday. Also in two is a breaking ball skied to shallow right field. Long run for Connell in and to his left, but he is there to make the leaping catch to retire Bowser for the first out of the inning. So much better start to the second for Tanner Hall.
Right fielder,
Bowser is retired,
Rafael
and one is out for Rafael Morel. Of course, things change when the half of the season changes. Colonels pushing so hard to get that playoff spot. But a 1-for-4 start to the second half of the year for Cedar Rapids. Here's Rafael Morel, who swings and grounds one foul, third base side. South Bend, who ended the first half 23-43. They're 3-2 in the first 5.5, too. A one inside. It got Morel on the backside by the belts. Tried to twist out of the way and got a piece of him, and he is on for the top of the order.
Center fielder.
It's a debate whether or not the first half in the second half system in the minor leagues is a good thing or a bad thing. but it gives teams who had really rough first halves a second chance, and teams that maybe push at the end of the first half a chance to, you know, try some things out and not drop a game, but not put the same guys in the same spots every night. First pitch to Carter Trice misses outside. And it is 1-0 on the South Bend center fielder. The pitch gets the inside corner for a strike. So if the Colonels, yes, they will be in the postseason no matter what. And they will continue to keep trying to win games. But for South Bend, a new chapter of their season starting 0-0 once again. The 1-1. Fouled back, 1-2. And through five games, a good start for the Cubs, 3-2. And for a team that was dreadful on the road to begin the season, losing 23 of their first 27 road games, they've flipped that around too. They've won 7 of 8 games on the road. Here's the 1-2 to Trice. Runner goes, pitches a swing and a miss, throw to second is late. Bounces in. And slotting in safely is Morrell. It is the first strikeout for Tanner Hall. Carter Trice is the victim. And two are gone for Jefferson Rojas. The rain starting to come down here at the ballpark. As expected, fans making a mass exodus. We play along as the righty batter Jefferson Rojas climbs in. In the first pitch is off of Rojas. Nipped him, got his elbow guard. It's the second hit by pitch of the inning, and it puts two on for Edgar Alvarez.
Left fielder, number 25.
So now through the raindrops, they're on first and second, two gone for Alvarez. With South Bend on top of the Colonels, 3-0. Alvarez walked and scored back in the opening frame. The lefty batter against the righty Hall. Out of the stretch, first base side. The first pitch is down, ball one. The rain not falling too hard. One-oh. Low and outside, ball two. Colonel staff is gathered by the tarp area, but nobody's moving quickly out there yet. And there is lighter clouds behind the darker clouds here moving across the field. Here's the 2-0, both runners go. Pitches a ball down, throw to third is not in time. Morrell steals second, now steals third base. It's a double steal. And they're on second and third with a 3-0 count on Alvarez. The Colonels' bullpen was active in the first inning with Wilker Reyes tossing. Now it looks like Jeremy Lee may get stretched out in the Colonels' pen now. 3-0 is down and in, ball four. So in the second inning, that's the third walk issued by Hall, and two hit by pitches in this inning. Bases loaded, two gone, top two, with runners on all three bases. The catcher Armas climbs in, first pitch, gets the inside corner for a strike. South Bend on top by three, trying to grow that advantage in the top of the second. 0-1, wave and a miss, 0-2. Hall tries to limit the damage after issuing a couple of hit-by-pitches and a walk in this inning. Armas calls his timeout behind 0-2. Digs back in, right foot in the left. The righty pitcher to the righty South Bend catcher. The 0-2. Down and away, taking 1-2. Cubs jumped out to a 4-0 lead yesterday in the top of the eighth inning after it was scoreless through six frames. On top by three this evening. And the 1-2 is a check swing. He went strike three on a breaking ball down and away. Hall escapes the jam in the second and leaves him loaded in inning number two. We go to the back half of the second. We are in a 3-0 game. South Bend on top of the Colonels in your home for Colonels baseball.
Insurance isn't our only passion at UFG Insurance. We're dedicated to supporting the communities where we live and work. We proudly offer our employees paid time off to volunteer. Their work is making a positive difference across the U.S. UFG's Go Beyond Award is presented to one employee annually for exceptional community service. Striving to deliver on our promises is more than what we do. It's who we are. For a company promising community support, think UFG.
The Bim Ritter Diamond Shop is a must-see whenever you visit Veterans Memorial Stadium. Located behind Section 113, the Bim Ritter Diamond Shop is full of your favorite Colonels t-shirts, sweatshirts, caps, and replica jerseys. Not to mention dozens of unique novelty items, all with the Colonels' authentic logo. Be sure to swing through while at the ballpark and take home a new Colonels item. Bim Ritter is headquartered in Cedar Rapids. Give them a call for all your apparel and headwear needs.
Fans, check your First Federal Money Machine Madness tickets. The winning numbers are on the ribbon board in right field. Head to the First Federal table on the concourse now to get ready for the madness.
We play on under the dark clouds here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Last of the second, South Bend on top of the Colonels, 3-0 in game number three of this series. Evan Ashton to back, tossed a 1-2-3 first frame. He's South Bend lefty on his 24th birthday back up there for his second inning of work. Danny De Andrade greets him. Righty batter gets the lefty on the mound. The first pitch is a breaking ball tapped foul for strike one. Ashton to back. A first-team All-SEC selection last season, and an All-American in his final season at Texas A&M, led the nation with a 1.78 ERA. A one, changeup drops in there for a strike. Also led the SEC with 10 saves last season. A remarkable campaign for the Texas native. 0-2. In the dirt, 1-2. Ready for this, 87 strikeouts for Ashton back last year, compared to 12 walks. 87-12, the strikeout to walk ratio. On top of De Andrade, 1-2. And the pitch is taken too high, and it's 2-2. Spent two seasons in College Station after a couple of JUCO years. It's 2-2. Swing and a miss. Fastball by him. Strike three. Picks up his first strikeout of the evening. De Andrade the victim. And he's retired four straight to begin this contest.
Third baseman, number 11, Billy Amick.
So bases empty, one gone. South Bend on top of the Colonels, 3-0. Bottom two. Billy Amick climbs in. Southpaw Ashton back comes home, and Amick takes at the top of the zone, called a ball. 1-0. Lefty Ashton back pitching to the righty Amick. Two former SEC rivals. 1-0. Breaking ball snaps the outside corner, and it's 1-1. Amick, of course, the last laugh of the conference rivalry, a national champion last season at Tennessee. 1-1. Swing a ground ball, chopped to third. Bowser on the run, gloves and throws, and throws out Amick by a couple of steps as the first five have been retired by Ashton back to begin this evening.
Andy Lugo.
So So they're empty two gone for Andy Lugo. 3-0 South Bend in the last of the second. First pitch, up and away, ball one. Lugo continuing to crush with the Colonels. 1-for-4 last night with his fifth Cedar Rapids double. 1-0, taken for a strike, 1-1. With the Colonels hitting .343 across now 10 games, a .981 OPS. 1-1, swing a ground ball shot up the gut, but Preciado plays behind the pitcher's mound. Collection throws to first to beat Lugo and retire the side in the inning. A 1-2-3 second for Evan Ashenbeck. 6 up and 6 down for the South Bend lefty. Through two, Cubs 3, and the Colonels nothing on the Cedar Rapids Baseball Network.
Hi, this is CeCe Sabathia. Join me in Upstate New York Hall of Fame weekend in Cooperstown and enjoy unforgettable experiences full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 25th through July 28th to welcome the entire Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2025. Visit baseballhall.org today for the full schedule. Look forward to seeing you in Cooperstown.
Hey fans, catch the excitement of minor league baseball with the Bally Sports Live app. Watch your favorite team or scout the top prospects every game live all season long.
Strike three, you're out.
Plus, stream the Savannah Bananas and emerging fight sports to keep the action going. Best of all, it's totally free. No credit card required. Download the Bally Sports Live app today on your phone or connected device.
Three back at bat. Sun is cloudy. Rain has stopped. Thursday evening, game three of the series. South Bend on top of the Colonels, 3-0. As Saul's back out there for his third inning of work, he'll face Cisneros, Brett Auer, and Preciado, 5, 6, and 7 in the South Bend starting nine. Here's the first baseman, Cameron Cisneros, who takes a pitch at the top of the zone for a strike. Cisneros 1-for-1 with an RBI double back in the first inning where South Bend struck for 3 runs. 0-1. Down and away. A ball and a strike. Cisneros playing game number 7 with South Bend after his early season stint with single A Myrtle Beach. 1-1. Swing a line drive, base hit left field. Beat the shift the opposite way. And Cisneros is 2-for-2 to begin his evening.
Designated hitter, number 8.
So again, more traffic on the bases for South Bend. They scored 3 times in the first inning, left them loaded in the second. And now with a leadoff man on in the third, Ivan Bredauer climbs in. First pitch, swing and a fly ball driven, but foul down the left field line. And it's 0-1. Bredauer, a sacrifice fly back in the first frame. He played at the third and final run for South Bend in that inning. Seeing Hall for the second time. And the 0-1 is popped up. Out of the infield, shallow right. De Andrade out there. And the Colonel's second baseman makes the one-handed catch to retire Bredauer for the first down of the inning.
Second baseman, number 7, Reggie Preciado.
So one is on, one is out for Reggie Preciado. 3-0 Cubs, top 3. The second baseman, Preciado. First pitch, fouled away. the 22-year-old from Panama. A one. Swinging a fly ball, foul on the first base side. 0-2. Preciado, originally a San Diego Padres farmhand, but dealt the Yu Darvish trade from Chicago to San Diego, and Darvish. Preciado went the opposite way, way back in 2020. 0-2. Down and away, 1-2. Darvish has been a Padres since, and Preciado has been a Cubs farmhand since. His first year at the high A level. The 1-2. Down and in, 2-2. Overall hitting 227. But against the Colonels, he is a different guy. 7 of 19 with 7 runs driven in. Has worked the count even, 2-2. The pitch. Outside, ball 3. Hall has walked 3 in this outing. He has hit 2. He's allowed 3 runs on 4 hits. His full count pitch. Runner goes. It's a ball down. No throw because it's ball 4. Preciado takes his base. And for the third consecutive start, Tanner Hall has walked 4 batters.
Third baseman, number 11, Drew Bowser.
This time just with 1 out in the top of the 3rd frame. And they're on 1st and 2nd with 1 gone for Drew Bowser. Again, not raining, just a brief spell of rain as Bowser climbs in, first pitch. Gets the outside corner for a strike, but that does not mean we are out of the woods. In terms of weather this evening, thunderstorms in the area all night long. Here's the 0-1. Down and away. Good catch by the Colonel's catcher, Ruiz, to his right. And it's a ball and a strike. Hall working on the first base side with 2 on and 1 out. Is 1-1. On the ground softly right side. Whitaker on the run, has to hurry. Bobbles and has no play. A slow roller on the infield. It's the second South Bend infield single. And this time it loads the bases with 1 out, top 3. So the Cubs fill him up for the second consecutive inning. 1 out for Rafael Morel, who was hit by a pitch back in the 2nd. Righty on right, first pitch. Fouled away. Hall would love a double play ball to shimmy out of the jam for the second consecutive inning. A-1. Swinging a fly ball to left. Urbina back into his right, won't get there. And it drops in for a hit. Cisneros is in. Preciado is in. Up to third base is Bowser on the 2-run double. Rafael Morel. It is 5-0 South Bend. Dropping in for a two-base hit deep in the left field corner.
Center fielder, number
9,
Carter.
The 6th South Bend hit, and they're on 2nd and 3rd still with 2 runs in the top of the 3rd frame. Here's the top of the order once more as Carter Trice climbs in. Righty on right for the 3rd time. First pitch, down and away, ball 1. Trice 1-for-2, singled back in the 1st inning. He struck out swinging. The 1st of 2 Hall strikeouts in the 2nd. Colonel's infield continues to play back. 1-0 is popped up. foul back behind his home plate. Ruiz is back, and he has room to make the two-handed catch on the warning track behind his home plate. That's a big second out, as runners stay on second and third. Now with two gone for Jefferson Rojas.
Number four, Jefferson Rojas.
So first and second, two gone, or second and third now, two gone for Rojas. He takes a ball down and in. Top three at Vets, southbound on top of the Colonels, 5-0. They have five runs on six hits. And they look for more here with two on and two out. 1-0. Gets the outside corner. And it's a ball and a strike. One, one. Down and away. It's 2-1. Hall has walked four in this game so far. He has hit two. And Southbend is six hits. A couple of doubles mixed in there. Two, one. Misses off the inside corner. And it's 2-2. Or check that now, 3-1. Ready at the waist, the 3-1. Swinging a fly ball, left center field. DeBarge coming in to make the catch to end the inning. South Bend gets two, but they leave two more in scoring position. Bottom three we go. South Bend on top, 5-0 on your home for Colonels baseball.
Welcome to Limitless Health Chiropractic.
Introducing Traveler Whiskey from Buffalo Trace Distillery. Traveler's been tasted, selected, and perfected to be everything it should be. A premium whiskey that speaks for itself. Traveler's made to be enjoyed exactly how you like it. Neat, on the rocks, or in your favorite cocktail. Traveler Whiskey, easy to drink, hard not to love.
With True Green, we got a great price on a golf course quality lawn,
which attracted golfers.
Morning.
Who needs a warm up?
And because True Green's doing the work, we get to have more fun.
Please don't post that.
Too late.
They don't have grass this thick in Australia.
That's what happens when you have a great lawn.
Shanked it again, huh? They're fun to have around.
PGA Tour quality lawns for as little as a dollar a day.
Where are we playing next?
Get started at truegreen.com.
Bottom three at Vets, and the tarp is coming on here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Touched on that first patch of dark clouds that went across the field without a break in the action. But now, with the South Bend Cubs on top of the Colonels, 5-0 in the bottom half of the third, and more rain on the way, the tarp is on the field. After South Bend scored three times in the opening frame and twice more in the second, it is a 5-0 edge for the Cubs, and the tarp is on the field. This game began with questions about the weather. 50 minutes in, a break in the action. And South Bend on top, 5-0. They scored three times in the top of the first frame. A single walk, single double sack fly. Put the Cubs on top by a 5-0 advantage, or a 3-0 advantage after one. In the third, they got two more on a single by Cisneros, a walk by Preciado. Single by Drew Bowser, and then Rafael Morales' RBI double brought in two to make it a 5-0 game in favor of South Bend. Their starter, South Bend's Evan Ashenbeck, is the one who you feel for after he has gone 6 up and 6 down in this contest. The left-hander has retired all 6 he has faced in this game so far tonight. And with the dart coming on the field, we'll see how long the break in the action is. And we'll see if Ashenbeck's night is over or not. Regardless, we're in a rain delay here at Vets. For our audience on Classic KMRY, we'll have a rain delay break before we toss things back to the studio. And we'll keep you posted on rain updates for our audience on MILB TV. We'll throw to a break with you on the Cedar Rapids Baseball Network. We will have a podcast of the Colonel's All Ear podcast here on the Cedar Rapids Baseball Network, as we'll talk to Colonel's infielder, outfielder, Jay Thomason, who is newly added to the Colonel's, an Air Force Academy graduate, will join us in the Colonel's All Ear podcast. We'll step aside for now, come back with studio coverage and KMRY in a podcast here on the Cedar Rapids Baseball Network. Rain delay here at Vets, 5-0 South Bend on top of the Colonel's, bottom third on your home for Colonel's baseball.
Voice of the Colonel, Calvin Cristoforo. On the podcast, you'll hear from past and present Cedar Rapids baseball influencers, including players, managers, executives, insiders, and more.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Season number 5, episode 7 of the Colonel's All Ear podcast, presented by our friends over at Miracle Ear. Calvin Cristoforo back with you. Pleased to be joined by one of the newest Colonels, Jay Thomason, plays the infield, plays the outfield, has a very interesting story to tell. Jay, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Calvin.
Let's start back with your foundations in baseball. I'll give some people the background. Jay, a 17th round pick of the Twins, just got called up from single-A Fort Myers, joined the Colonels a couple of weeks ago. On the injured list right now, but we'll be back with the Colonels here soon as we go through the second half of the season. Jay, you're a guy from Auburn, Alabama. Walk me through your childhood and growing up in baseball.
Yeah, so I was born in Carrollton, Georgia. Moved to Auburn whenever my dad got a new job when I was in around fifth grade. So I basically like went to high school, grew up the second part of my life in Auburn. Got recruited by the Air Force Academy coming out of high school around my going into my junior year. And the decision was basically, like, I wasn't heavily recruited coming out of high school at this point in time, going into my junior year. And Coach Gilman, who's now the hitting coordinator with the Reds, CJ Gilman, is the hitting coordinator with the Reds, then with the Mariners now, recruited me coming out of high school. And then Coach Kaz, Michael Kislowski, is the head coach of the Air Force Academy right now, actually saw one of my games. Invited me out to a visit September of my junior year. And basically, like, I fell in love immediately. Something about that place, it kind of just clicked, I would say. Like, they invited me out there in September and basically just showed me, like, all the opportunities. It wasn't your normal baseball visit, right? They started the visit at 6, like probably 8 in the morning, and they take you through all the academic halls, all the cadet dorms, showing you all the military duties that you have, take you to the airfield. The baseball field is actually the last thing that you do on the visit. And, you know, I got to spend the night in the dorms, got to hang out with all the dudes that were current cadets at the time. And I just fell in love with it. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to do something different. I want to go to school, not just for baseball, not just for myself. I want to have a bigger commitment in life. And yeah, and that's basically what happened. I committed on the spot whenever I was offered and ended up at the Air Force Academy for my college career.
So you committed that day, you're saying?
Yeah, I committed that day. We were in the dugout and I was like, Kaz, I want to come here. He's like, oh, I know. I just need your parents' approvals. So yeah, and I committed the day of, like, on the spot, still in the dugout and everything. So
when you grew up in Auburn, did you grow up an Auburn fan?
Yeah, so my mom, dad, brother, sister, granddad all went to Auburn. I grew up literally going to all the football games on Saturdays, tailgating, and it was Auburn everything, you know, baseball, basketball, all those sporting events. And but early on, like growing up around that kind of state school lifestyle, how that goes, I knew I wanted to do something different. I wanted to play baseball in college, but I kind of just wanted to do something different. I wanted to take a different route. I didn't want to go the normal state school route. And then the Air Force opportunity came about, and like I just felt in my heart, like I was like, all right, this is perfect. You know, I get to continue my baseball career. I essentially get like an Ivy League education because the Air Force Academy really prides itself on academics. It's one of the most prestigious institutions in the country. And everyone that graduates there graduates with a bachelor's of science. So you're in calculus 1, calc 2, physics, chem 1, chem 2, mechanical engineering, aeronautical engineering, astronautical engineering. I could go on and on. Like, those are just 4 classes that every single cadet there has to take in order to graduate. And so you're getting the academic side, plus you get to serve a bigger purpose, which is to serve the United States of America and the greatest Air Force in the world. So those 3 things combined, I was like, it's a dream come true in fulfilling that sense of wanting to do something different and serving a bigger purpose than just yourself.
Correct me if I'm wrong, too. You do have some family in the Air Force as well.
Yeah, so my brother actually served in the Air Force Reserve for about 6 years. So went to Auburn University his freshman year and then joined the reserve after that freshman year. Went off to basic in Texas. And he served in the reserve while he finished up college, and then about 3 or 4 years after he graduated college. So that was his extended service. And then my brother-in-law is actually an Air Force K-9 handler. So he was in the Air Force, actually got out, but he actually just came back from a deployment in Africa. Actually, he just got back like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So he's still in the reserve, and his reserve squadron just deployed, which is pretty rare. Like, that doesn't happen pretty frequently, but yeah, it just came about, and he decided to take that opportunity to go to Africa for 6 months. So he actually just got back. So yeah, my brother and brother-in-law both actually have service time in the Air Force. So
that's crazy. Okay, yeah. So you commit to the Air Force in the dugout, then you show up on campus. What are your first couple days on campus like when you go out there?
Culture shock. So your first day on campus is called I-Day. Essentially what I-Day is, it's just in processing day. It was during COVID, so I actually just flew out there by myself. Usually your parents will fly out and drop you off. But I actually just went out there by myself because of COVID restrictions. But anyway, I get dropped off in this, it's called the HAC, the Holiday Athletic Center, which is basically just an indoor football field. And I go in, you wait through all these long lines, and essentially you just are in processing to become a base, a cadet, but technically you're not a cadet yet because you still have to go through basic training. So the first day you get there, you have to go through 6 weeks of it's entirely cadet-led basic training. So you're getting yelled at by juniors and seniors who are already cadets, but there's military training instructors overseeing it, so you get yelled at those guys too. But yeah, you go through all these long lines, and there's these footprints. There's these footprints that you get dropped off the bus. It's like a very like nostalgic kind of like everyone has to do it. So it's like, okay, you get on the footprints and you're like, officially, here we go. We're going to start basic training. And, you know, I get dropped off on the bus and I go to the footprints, and you stand at the footprints and at the position of attention, or you try to at least, because you have zero idea what you're doing. And yeah, and you have all these like cadets yelling at you. You have the military training instructors like in these big flat bill hats yelling at you, telling you the seven basic commands. You're like, I don't even know what that is. Like, they're just yelling at you, and they're throwing as much chaos on your plate as possible, because this is kind of like, okay, you're here. You're getting into. And so then you go up, you got to brisk up a ramp, and it's at altitude. So I came from Alabama, which is not at altitude. The Air Force Academy is 7,000 feet up. And so you're breathing heavy already. You got to like carry your book bag, and then you go in the line, they shave off your hair. And then, yeah. And then the rest is like, they teach you how to put a military uniform on. They teach you like how to march, just basically basic military standards. And then that's for the first 3 weeks. And then the second half is you go to Jack's Valley, and that's more of like the military, shoot guns, learn how to survive, military, like survival kind of style training. So that's the first 6 weeks. And I was like, what did I get myself into? Because I think if you don't think that, like, you have something wrong in your head, because it's a culture shock. You know, you go from being a high school kid, which senior year of high school is usually pretty relaxed for a lot of people, to just standards getting yelled at by all these different people. And then I finish basic cadet training, and then freshman year is no joke. Like, you're basically waiting, you know, it's not hazing, like we don't haze people at the academy, but there's different responsibilities that freshmen have to do. And there's extra stuff that they stack on the freshman's plate, basically just to weed out the people that really don't want to be there. So, you know, freshman year, you have these knowledge tests about the Air Force that you have to study for, on top of you're almost cracking 17 to 20 credit hours your first semester. Plus you're playing a Division I sport. You know, you got your military duties on top of that. And then there's the freshman year stuff. So, like, for example, there's these strips on the terrazzo. I wish I had a picture of it, but on the main level, to get to class, to get to the cafeteria, to get to the chapel, which is under construction right now, there's these marble like strips on the edges of the terrazzo, and freshmen have to run on them to get there. You can't walk on the main part of the terrazzo. Freshmen have to walk on these strips, and you have to greet every single upperclassman that are walking by. You have military formation 15 minutes earlier than everyone in the morning, at like 6:30. You know, it's intense, and it's a grinder, and it's meant to grind you down and really like question your like, why am I here? You know, your will to be at the Air Force Academy. And so that's just like freshman year. And there's this thing called recognition around March or April of your freshman year, so the second semester, and that's when you're officially recognized into the cadet wing. And then that's when you get all your responsibilities, like wearing civilian clothing on base. You can wear it. So every time you leave base when you're a freshman, before you're recognized, you have to be in blues, which is basically like a blue suit that the Air Force issues you. It's a military uniform. Blues is like the slang term that everyone uses. But yeah, it's like a whole tie, blazer, dress pants, shiny shoes every time you leave base. And when you're on base, you have to be in some sort of Air Force military uniform. So that's just freshman year. And then sophomore, junior, senior year, you don't have those freshman year responsibilities, but you're every year you go up, you're in charge of more people. So sophomore year, you're a supervisor for at least one freshman. So that freshman that you just were, okay, I get to sophomore year, now I'm in charge of one of these guys. So you have to make sure that they're following the military standards, that they're up to date with the regulations, that they're getting their academics done. And it's good to have that freshman year under your belt before you are in charge of people, because you can relate to this guy that is culture shock, just as I was last year, that is probably wanting to go home now. You know, I want to leave, but I don't want to be here. And it's like, okay, calm down, it gets better. So, okay, sophomore year, and you still have your academics. You know, mechanical engineering is a popular core class that you have to take that year. That's very hard, that I almost failed, actually. I was very this close to failing. Physics is no joke, a core class that I had to take that year. Political science, English, you know, these are all core classes that you're thrown into the gauntlet that you just have to figure out. But now I have more obligation. You know, I have these couple, maybe one to two freshmen that I'm in charge. You get through that gauntlet. Plus, you're playing a Division I sport and you're traveling. You know, Air Force baseball travels more than any team in the country. You know, we play 20 home games in a 55, 60 game season. So 30, 35 games, you're on the road. And we do all military travel, which is a huge privilege. You know, we fly the big gray C-17 airplanes wherever we fly.
That's crazy.
Or Air Force Two a couple of times, which the vice president or some senators fly on. Tankers, C-130s. I mean, you name it. Air Force baseball has probably flown on to a baseball game on it. And, you know, it's a privilege because there's these certain flying squadrons that either need training hours or they're in the area and they're going to the spot we're playing at. So we can hop and catch a ride with them. And Coach Kaz, Mike Kislowski, who's basically my second dad, coordinates all of that. If it weren't for him, like, I don't know how we would get to these like the Southeast when we're playing Mississippi State, or on the West Coast when we're playing San Diego, how we would do it logistically. He's a mastermind when it comes to that. The connections he has is ridiculous. But anyway, sorry to get off topic a little bit.
That's crazy. And that's exactly the stuff that I was curious about as we talked to Jay Thompson here on the Colonel's Earlier podcast.
Yeah.
Is important to living life to the fullest. That's why inside every Miracle Ear store, you'll find better laughs at family barbecues. You'll find a better life is in store at Miracle Ear when you experience the Miracle Ear exclusive advantage. It starts with our free hearing assessment, plus innovative products that will fit your needs and budget. With free service and adjustments for life, call 319-243-7105 to schedule a free hearing evaluation and find a better life in store. Our local Miracle Ear team is proud to support the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Group outings are a great way to unwind and enjoy a night out, and we invite you to reach out to our group sales staff and see all the options we have.
Everybody knows when you're at the game, the good times roll. Hey, hey, girl.
Colonels that the good times roll.
Enjoy your risk-free trial.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Everybody hear me?
I sure can.
Do you hear me?
I sure can.
So, can you hear well?
Sure can.
Hear well, feel well, from your first appointment.
Your local Miracle-Ear team is proud to support your Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Knock your child's birthday party out of the park with our exclusive birthday party package, designed to make your child's special day unforgettable. Head over to Colonels.com to discover the excitement waiting for you.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, that's a good times roll.
I'm just curious, give me a typical in-season practice day from the morning you wake up to the morning you go to sleep.
Yeah, so, you know, with baseball, it's like you have a fall season, which is basically a full season. Spring, we travel a lot, so we're on the road. Like, to really, like, show how intense these days are, I'll give you, like, a Monday as an Air Force baseball player.
Perfect.
So you wake up around probably 6:30-ish. So I like to do that late because I like to sleep, you know, that's sleeping in late. Some maniacs would wake up at 6 or 5:45 because they're like, I like to have my routine. That wasn't me. I would get out of bed at 6:30, you know, make sure my hair looks good. I had to shave, brush my teeth, of course, do all that morning routine stuff. And then, Monday you have morning formation at 6:45. My senior year, I was a squadron commander, so I was in charge of 100 people. So I'd actually have to lead these morning formations. But anyway, 6:45, that lasted about 10-ish minutes, if that long. Then breakfast is at 7. You eat breakfast as fast as you can. Then class starts at 7:30. Class starts at 7:30. And then you have 4 classes in the morning. So 7:30 to 11:30 is class, and then 11:45 you have to. It's called noon meal formation. So you march to lunch. So you march to lunch, and then lunch is whenever morning noon meal formation gets over with. So 12-ish, 12:15 lunch ends at 12:30, 12:35. You have another military training period at 12:45 that lasts about an hour. You get done around 1:30-ish, 1:45. You got to be on field, fully dressed at 2:15. Practice starts at 2:15 for baseball. And then that'll last till around 5. And then we still have to work out. We lift every day at 5 to 6. You get done with lift. You go back down to the field. You have to grab your stuff, change, shower. And then you get up to dinner around 6:45, because you have to walk everywhere. It's, you know, you walk a good bit at the Air Force Academy, because it's not like you can drive to these places. It's like you just have to walk. But anyway, yeah, you get done. You want to eat dinner with all your friends, so you allow yourself some time to about 7:30, 8-ish. And then however much school you have to do, I like to procrastinate, so I would start around 8:30-ish, 9, and I usually would get to bed around 11:30. Maybe some nights at 12 if I had a big test that I needed to study for, but yeah, that was a full day.
That's crazy. And then, you know, on the field at Air Force, I mean, you had such great success, the all-time leading home run getter in the Mountain West Conference. How are you able to, you know, improve yourself, you know, get better, have all those big achievements while all this other stuff was going on off the field?
Yeah, so I would kind of set the visual is that you have these three flags, right? Military, academic, and athletics, right? You want to have all three as high as you can, but you have to, like, there's not enough time in the day to have everything perfect. You have to learn how to compromise. So if I want to get more swings in the cage, I might have to take it like, hit on studying for this assignment or this military portion. Like, I just don't have enough time for it. I'm going to maximize and get my best effort. But when the clock hits this hour, I'm done. Same thing with academics. Like, you can't stress yourself out about this test. I'm going to pour everything I have into studying for this test for this hour. Boom, done. And I like to, like, baseball was kind of my escape. That's how I stayed sane. It was kind of like my getaway. So that's what I would do. Whenever I would have any free time, I would go down to the field and train. And yeah, and I spent like a lot of my free time just doing extra work, whether that be lifting, whether that be hitting, whether that be doing defense with a couple of my buddies. Like, that's just, I genuinely love to do it. So if practice were in, I would stay after to get some more swings in with a couple of my buddies, or, you know, on the weekends when we had more time after a scrimmage, I would stay and get some work, or maybe get in early before the scrimmage and get some work in. But yeah, like, I really credit that. Like, I just genuinely loved going down the field and putting in work, you know, and that really, it really helped me just figure out this baseball sport to an extent. So I still don't have it all figured out, but it helped me understand it a little better.
What's the coolest thing you got to do with the academy?
So it's a close tie, I would say. So the first thing was being in an F-16 my freshman year in the back end of an F-16, pulling 8.5 Gs and passing out. And we do an hour in a center ride. Coach Kaz, with his connections, he makes sure every freshman gets to ride in some sort of jet. And I got to ride in an F-16 with the 187. Air National Guard down in Montgomery, Alabama.
You passed out.
Good thing. I passed out. I can send you the video of it if you want to attach it. It was the coolest thing ever. Like, it is the coolest, most horrific roller coaster ride that you've been on times 100. You know, I can't really explain the feeling that you get in your gut when you're hitting one of these turns. I mean, it's absurd. The technology, even though the F-16s are a little older, but even now, like, the technology and the capability of those jets is unreal. And what it can make you feel in your gut is also unreal and make you pass out like that. The close second is I got to do jump training. I got my jump wings going into my sophomore year. So the Air Force Academy is the only jump program in the world where the first time you jump out of the plane, you're solo. So you go through probably 30, no, it's, yeah, I mean, it's a five, they actually get it all done in 5 days. So you show up to the airfield around 4, you leave around 4 in the morning, you leave around 5 in the evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's all training. Thursday, you have your first jump. Friday, you're done with your jumps. So it's 5 jumps at 4,500 feet in the air. You jump out, 10 seconds of free fall. You pull your chute, and you're under canopy. You land. I got 3 jumps my first day, and the second day I got 2 jumps, and I got my jump wings. The coolest thing, I was actually debating on quitting baseball to join the parachuting team. I was this close to doing it.
Yeah.
I only credit Tommy Gilman, who is actually combat rescue officer. He's special forces in the Air Force. He's a older baseball player. So he was a senior when I was a sophomore, because he had the same sort of dilemma. And I was like, he said, dude, I'm not going to judge you if you quit baseball, but, you know, it's going to be a mistake. like you do not need to quit baseball. You're too talented. And when he said that, when he was out, I was like, Tommy's usually like it, you know, you're in charge of your own life, but he was adamant. He was like, you're too talented. So I was like, he's probably right. I'm going to stick with baseball. But you can't do both. You know, I had my application and everything. Like, I was about to submit it and go. And there's, like, a selection process for the Wings of Green. So it wasn't guaranteed that I would make the parachuting team. But I was like, I'm going to do it, you know. And I loved it that much. The adrenaline that you get from it, it's you can't really replicate it. It's the coolest thing ever.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Stay connected with the Cedar Rapids Colonels all year long by following the Colonels on social media. Catch up with the Colonels on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CR Colonel.
Big Grove and the Cedar Rapids Colonels are bringing you the Ultimate Happy Hour Special. Swing by Big Grove Cedar Rapids 2 hours before every evening home game and enjoy unbeatable drink specials. Want to make it even better? Purchase the Big Grove Mug Club and score $3 beers during happy hour. Kick off your night with great drinks and good company. Then head to the ballpark for all the action. Big Grove, proudly supporting your Cedar Rapids Colonels.
The Bim Ritter Diamond Shop is a must-see whenever you visit Veterans Memorial Stadium. Located behind Section 113, the Bim Ritter Diamond Shop is full of your favorite Colonels t-shirts, sweatshirts, caps, and replica jerseys. Not to mention dozens of unique novelty items, all with the Colonels' authentic logo. Be sure to swing through while at the ballpark and take home a new Colonels item. Bim Ritter is headquartered in Cedar Rapids. Give them a call for all your apparel and headwear needs.
So your college career is coming to an end. Air Force graduation, and it was a very big deal. You do that, and then the draft comes around. I'm curious the process and how all that went down.
Ooh, I hated it. I hated the entire process that had to do with it. It was the most stressful time, one of the most stressful times of my life. So graduated on cloud nine. You know, I have all these different teams reaching out, and I'm like, oh, cool. You know, they're like, yeah, day two, they're throwing dollar amounts at me. I'm like, it sounds amazing. But it was cool. So I actually flew out to LA for a Twins workout, at Cypress Community College. And, you know, I actually credit this to me getting drafted. Like, I get out to this workout and I get to meet all the guys in the front office of the scouting department. They're all amazing dudes. Like, they all kind of asked me questions about my Air Force background, like, just really appreciated where I came from. And I thought it was the coolest thing. And it just sat really good with me. And like, I was like, man, the Twins, like, if this is how the org is, like, I want to be a Twin. Like, they already have Griffin Jacks in the org, who's pitching on the big league roster and who's a stud, should have been an all-star last year. I mean, the guy shoves, great dude. And I was like, former Colonel, Colonel legend Griffin Jacks. But I was like, man, that's cool. Get done with the workout, and the draft is a month later. I think 1 to 2 months later. It happened really soon after I graduated college, which was in May. But anyway, the draft comes around, and, you know, I get like 3 or 4 calls from teams on day two. And they're throwing dollar amounts like that are very, very cheap. Very, and it's not like I signed for a lot of money, but I'm telling, like $1,000. And I was saying yes, and I still wasn't getting drafted. And it happened like 4 or 5 times on day two. And when I didn't get drafted on day two, I was like, well, that's it. Like, I probably won't get drafted, which I was like a very stressful thing. Cause my agent was like, hey, all these guys like you, but none of these teams are taking me. And so day three comes around, 11th round, 12th round, 13th round, 14th round, 15th round, 16th round, all pass, nothing, not even a phone call from any team. And like I'm texting scouts, area scouts, area scouts, and they're like, "Hey, I'm doing the best I can." I did not hear from the team until I was super stressed. Like I was pacing around. I was like, "I got to go do something." So I went to Whole Foods, and I go to Whole Foods like to pick up dinner for that night. Not mad, you know. I'm on the phone with my family and my agent, and it just suddenly started pouring rain, like a huge storm. And I'm on the way home from Whole Foods, and I get a call from my agent. And I don't have the draft tracker up at this point, but he calls me and he's like, "Hey, watch out for the Twins' next pick." All right, I get another phone call. Bye. And I'm like, "What?" So I pull up the draft tracker and it's pouring rain. I'm like driving, trying to
to sit home.
Yeah, and I have the draft tracker up. I'm like, and it's like, all right, the Twins are up. Like, it's not coming through. I felt like it's been 5 years since this pick. And finally, like, my phone just starts flooding with texts. Like, "Congrats, you did it. Congratulate, like, you know, you're the man." But the pick hasn't came up on my phone yet. And I'm like, well, I guess I got drafted. You know, I have a bigger league. And then I refresh my phone, and it finally comes up. Jay Thomason, 17th round, Twins, pick 518. And it was the biggest relief ever. And I was like, wow, this is like how it was meant to be. Like, it all makes sense now. Like, this is the way it was supposed to go. You know, I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason. This happened for a reason, and I couldn't be more blessed to be in the position in the org that I'm in. I mean, it just has truly been so cool to be be in the Twins organization and be playing with the affiliates that I have so far.
Yeah, you get drafted, you crush it down to Fort Myers to begin the year, you get the promotion to Cedar Rapids, where you stand right now. We're running out of time here on season five, episode seven of the Colonels All Year podcast. I got two quick ones for you before we go. Number one, I don't think I could do this podcast without asking about Paul Skeens, who years at Air Force. What was it like playing with that guy, and what was it like, you know, seeing him go on to what he's accomplished right now?
Yeah, Paul is more of an outstanding person as he is player, and that's saying a lot because he's an outstanding player. Being able to play with Paul, like, to pick his brain, I mean, he's one of a kind. Like, his freshman year, he would catch eight innings and then come in the ninth and throw like 97, 98 and close out games. He had like 11 or 12 saves. He led the country in saves as a freshman, hit .410 with 11 pumps and only 150 at bats. Absurd. Gets like first team All American from every single, Baseball America, D1 baseball that you can think of. Kind of blanked out right there, sorry. And then sophomore year, he would start on Fridays pitching, DH on Saturdays, and then catch on Sundays. And I always said, like, at Air Force, he was a better catcher than pitcher. And that's – he was the best pitcher I've ever seen.
Crazy.
But his catching was truly, like, an art. Like, the way he would frame, it was – unbelievable to see. And he had a rocket obviously behind the dish, and when he'd throw it down, and when I'm at third, I would just be like, geez, that was crazy. Like, he just threw it that hard, he wasn't trying to. But yeah, I mean, Paul's still, like, I could reach out to him today and he'd be willing to talk. Like, he's for his brothers, like, doesn't forget the guys at Air Force, still keeps up with us, and I mean, it, the fact that he's having as much success as he is right now on the big stage is not shocking to me at all, because the amount of work that he puts in, the amount of attention to detail, of course, the caliber of a person he is just A1, professional, big league to the team.
My last one for you. Where and how did the best nickname on the team, Bomason, come about?
So, my sophomore year, I struggled, like, through my first 53 at-bats. I was hitting, like, 8 for 53 to, like, 114. Still had not had a career home runs. So we're in UNLV, and we're getting whipped. and it's just a random at bat. Like, I get clipped, and it goes, hits the top of the fence and bounces over. And, like, something just clicked in my head. Like, I just need to catch the ball out front. Like, that was it. Like, that swing, when I had another one my next at bat, I hit two more the next game. I look up, I have, like, 8 bombs in 6 games. And that's actually during that little stretch of 8 home runs in 6 games, they started calling me Bombison. It's kind of stuck, you know. And it would be weird if, like, they gave me that nickname and I didn't hit another home run. But fortunately enough, like, I kind of lived up to it while I was there. So
58 home runs in the career of Jay Bombison. Thomas, yeah. Of course, the most in the history of the Mountain West Conference. Jay, thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course, Calvin. Thank you so much for having me, and go Colonels.
Go Colonels. Hey, we'll look forward to seeing Jay back on the field and look forward to seeing you at the ballpark as July is right around the corner at Veterans Memorial Stadium. This was season number 5, episode 7, the Colonels All Ear podcast presented by Miracle Ear.
So, can you hear well?
Sure can.
Hear well, feel well from your first appointment.
5:35, and we'll finish the 9-inning game. That'll be followed by a 7-inning game, so tomorrow will be a doubleheader starting at 5:35. Tonight's tickets can be exchanged at the box office for any remaining regular season game. The Colonels do thank you for coming out tonight. We want to see you back here again tomorrow. Fans, we do have some additional announcements tonight. Happy birthday, Lincoln and Nick Alice. Also, happy birthday to Alex. And Linmar Baseball 9U Black was enjoying a team outing courtesy of the Crystal Brew. Your tickets can be exchanged at the box office for any remaining regular season game. Tonight's game will resume tomorrow night at 5:35.
Back here at Veterans Memorial Stadium, where this game has been suspended and called for the evening. South Bend on top of the Colonels 5-0 in the top or the bottom of the third. The Cubs scored 3 times in the top of the first inning, twice more in the top of the third, but then the rain came crashing down between the top and the bottom half of the third innings. A rain delay for about 40 minutes or so, and now the game has been called due to weather. We will play the continuation of this suspended game at the ballpark tomorrow, beginning at 5:35, with the continuation, the final 6.5 innings of game number 3 in this series, then a 7-inning game in game 2 of the set tomorrow, beginning at 45 minutes after the conclusion of game 1. Tomorrow evening here at the ballpark. So this game suspended in the bottom half of the third with South Bend on top of the Colonels by a 5-0 tally. We will play 2 tomorrow, finishing up this game in a 7-inning game to follow tomorrow night, beginning with first pitch at 5:35. Game 2, 30 to 45 minutes after the conclusion of game number 3. So that will do it for us here at the ballpark. We thank you for joining us across our family of networks, Classic Camera, Y, and Cedar Rapids Baseball Network. I'm Calvin Cristoforo, saying so long for this evening. The Colonels and the Cubs will play the continuation of this game tomorrow beginning at 5:35 with game 4 of the set to follow. As for tonight, we are done in the bottom half of the third due to weather here with the Cubs on top of the Colonels 5-0. I'm Calvin Cristoforo. We'll chat tomorrow for now really 2 full games. 5-0 South Bend, bottom 3. We'll pick it up there tomorrow evening. This has been Cedar Rapids Colonels Baseball on Cedar Rapids Baseball Network.